I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Of course Russia should be there. And Trump will get criticized in the papers and all weekend and all Sunday, and this will be another dot that shows he's colluding with the Russians. He just makes sense. It's some sort of a world summit in Canada. You need the world powers there. Whether you like them or not, whether or not you think they are after America or dastardly villains, Russia should be there. They represent a power. That's all Trump is doing. He's doing what any business person would do. Not a politician. No politician would go in front of the cameras and say, "Where is Russia? Russia should be here." That's too political. But business people are oriented differently. They don't care about the photo op. They care about common sense. If we're trying to make world economic decisions, if we're going to discuss world economy, then we need world powers at the meeting. I don't know the background of the G7. Don't care about it. Sometime I think I heard it was used to be the G8 and they kicked Russia out. It's just stupid. If we're going to have a meeting of world powers about the economy, who's going to lend money to whom and what trade tariffs go where, then you need Russia because they are a world power. Even if they're not a power, they're certainly a large economy that should be there. Yes. This is Bob Sherwood with webtalkwithbob@gmail.com on this June 9th. Making a few comments about what Trump has done lately and why I like him. I like what he said about Russia. It makes sense. Now, here's the issue. Why does it make sense to me? I am a business person. Have you ever heard of Apple Computer? Well, of course you have. Have you ever heard of Samsung? Of course you have. Do you know that Apple and Samsung have been in court for probably 8 or 9 years? Apple sued them for copying the iPhone. And let's face it, the Samsung phones do look a lot like the iPhone. And Apple won. And it's been appealed, and Apple won. And the appeal's been changed, and they're back in court. I don't know if Samsung has ever paid Apple a dime. It's probably still in some stage of appeal. But what did Apple win from Samsung? At one time, the court verdict was Samsung had to pay Apple $560 million. I don't think they ever paid them yet because it's still in court. So what would you conclude from that litigation? That Apple and Samsung are fierce competitors, are they not? And they are. They're competing for the smartphone market. And they litigate each other regularly. But did you know that Samsung is one of the largest vendors of Apple? Samsung supplies millions and millions and millions of dollars of chips and other materials for the phone, for the iPhone, to Apple. Wait a minute, Bob. I thought they were competitors. Well, in the business world, of course, you can be competitors. You can sue your competitor, but you can also buy from your competitor. Apple buys from Samsung. The truth is, Apple needs Samsung. Samsung needs Apple because Apple is a big customer of Samsung. Yet they go to court and call each other names. There must be some principle of business there somewhere that the Democrats are missing when applied to the political arena. Trump can place sanctions on Russia, can call Putin names, but still say, hey, where's Russia? They should be in this summit. As a business person, Trump understands that in some arenas you compete with your other countries like Russia. In other situations, you need them to be a part of the discussion because they're part of the economy. Democrats, MSNBC, the liberals, they'll never understand that. And they won't until they run their own companies. Now, there are some liberals running big companies. Let's face it, there are a lot of liberals at Apple, and they run Apple Computer. And they understand that Samsung is a supplier to them. And they also understand that they're going to litigate Samsung if Samsung copies the iPhone, which they have. And it's not a delicate line. It's like Apple saying to Samsung, sure, we're going to keep buying products from you, and by the way, we're going to sue you over the iPhone too. In business, those two concepts aren't foreign. They aren't dis-exclusive or unexclusive. They don't exclude each other. Another example, Trump says, I've got 500 sanctions ready to go on North Korea. And he's saying that as he gets on a plane and flies there to discuss peaceful relations. He understands that the discussions might not go well. That's a businessman's thinking. They may not go well. If they don't, then I have to go to my next alternative, more sanctions. From a business perspective, a discussion that Trump is having with Kim Jong-un is not a zero-sum game. It isn't all or nothing. It isn't binary. But the liberals just don't get it. Trump said something that I know will be on the Sunday news tomorrow. He said, I don't need to prepare much for the meeting. And believe me, tomorrow on Meet the Press, that'll be one of the things that'll come up. Do you think Trump is prepared for the meeting? Because he said he didn't have to prepare very much. He probably doesn't, because he doesn't know what the North Korean leader is going to say yet. But he's ready, he knows his options, he knows what he wants. And oh, by the way, he probably has had 200 people over there already now preparing things for him and having other discussions. He doesn't have to know everything. That's what a business person knows. He doesn't have to know the answer to every question because he's got staff, hundreds of staff that can provide him answers to questions. Sony says he doesn't have to prepare very much. He may just be setting Kim up because, believe me, he is prepared. That's how he became a wealthy guy. He was prepared for negotiations. Doesn't mean he tells the other people everything he's doing. Doesn't mean he's saying, I've got 100 people on my staff preparing documents and things on this situation. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to exclaim his righteousness like he would if he was an Obama. He doesn't have to do it in intellectual arguments. He just does it in simple statements. Russia should be here. I don't have to prepare much for the North Korean meeting, but I am prepared. But no one will get the last part. See, it's business. That's what the liberals don't get. They don't understand how you can, on the one hand, be discussing 500 sanctions against North Korea, and on the other hand, have a peace meeting with them. And oh my gosh, now Will Trump actually ask the North Korean leader to come to the United States of America? How horrible would that be, the Democrats say. How horrible would that be to ask somebody like that to come to the United States of America? And what an opportunity that would be for him to put himself on a worldwide stage. Let's not do that. No, let's not do that. Let's not be friends with a guy that has nuclear capability. Let's just keep him at a distance. See, these things don't make sense in business. You talk to your competitors because you both live in the same economy. Truly, no competitor wants to eradicate the other side because of mutual self-destruction. That's always in the wings. I watched Tucker Carlson last night, or perhaps it was the night before, and it occurred to me again, what is one of the main differences between a personality like Carlson's and the personality of the liberals that come on his show? The liberals simply will not answer a question. Are you in favor of sanctuary cities? And they go off on a tangent in another direction. Maybe they'll talk about Trump being a bigot. And Tucker will come back, no, I'm just asking a straightforward question. Are you in favor of sanctuary cities? And they go off on a tangent. Tucker interrupts. This is a yes or no question. Are you in favor or are you not? Well, I'm interested in the whole issue of immigration, and we got to take care of these people, and they're human beings. Wait a minute. I'm not asking you if they're human beings, Tucker says. I'm asking you, are you in favor of sanctuary cities? Well, they're in our cities, and we need to take care of them. Does this mean that you have to take care of them the same way you take care of U.S. citizens? Well, they're human beings. They're in our cities. We have to take care of them. Are you in favor of sanctuary cities? Well, I think it's a racial issue. I think it's the issue of poverty. See, you can't get an answer out of a Democrat. Listen to Tucker Carlson. He drills down on these people, and they don't answer the simplest question because they can't. They can't answer a question like that. Tucker was interviewing a couple of people. One, I think, was running for attorney general in some city or some state. And he tried to pin him down on sanctuary cities, and the guy just wouldn't answer. He kept getting back to racial issues or poverty. And then he asked somebody else who came on, what happened to climate change? How has that started to unfold? And of course, there's no answer to that either. And why is it now that climate change is being related to racial issues? To me, it's just hilarious. And all the cities and states that we're going to go on and follow all the climate change rules without America, nobody ever got the point. None of these other countries wanted climate change. They wanted America's money to finance things in their own state under the guise of climate change. Am I criticizing their intent? Sure I am. Because if you listen to what they have to say about climate change, you realize that their intent is and should be criticized. Very simply, say, look, if America doesn't pay any money, but we're in favor of climate change, would you go ahead and fund the climate change expenses yourself? Well, no, we won't. We can't do that. We need money from you. You're a rich nation. In other words, when push comes to shove, they don't believe in it enough to finance it themselves. Oh, sure, a few countries are still giving it lip service, but is anybody writing a check? No. You want to find out how important climate change is? Set up a You Fund Me Now or a Climate Change Fund Me Now and see how many people kick in their own money in favor of it. I think the Clinton Foundation should get behind it. They have a lot of other countries' money. Clinton and Patterson, huh? They make a great team, don't they? Patterson's a writer, sits back, and Clinton defends his affairs with Monica Lewinsky. And here's one of Clinton's comeback, absolutely rolls me in my chair. Wait a minute. When I got out of the presidency, I was $16 million in debt. I was $16 million in debt. Whose fault was that, Bill? Were you in debt because you had to hire attorneys to defend yourself? You know, by the way, who were you in debt to? Were you in debt to Hillary? Never mentioned what your assets were. He might have said, I owed $16 million, but after all, I've got about $450 million in my foundation, so I should be okay. If you and I were $16 million in debt, we'd be in the poorhouse. We'd have to declare bankruptcy. I wish the guy would have said, well, Bill, how did you pay that money back? Well, let's see. I've been collecting money pretty regularly now for speeches in other countries. You know these countries where I gave them like $6 or $7 billion of federal aid? Well, now they're paying me $1 million for visits. Or maybe they kicked in $50 million to his foundation. You realize that with a foundation, let's say the foundation owns a jet, which I understand they do, they can fly Bill anywhere for free. He doesn't have to pay for it. He can go anywhere he wants. They fly him around for free. He can get paid by the foundation. He doesn't have to have a real job like the rest of us because he works for a foundation that apparently got money from every other country in the world. I didn't give him any money. But I'm $16 million in debt when I left the presidency. What are you now, Bill? Well, I'm $100 million to the good. Well, my gosh, I guess you've done pretty well since you left, haven't you? What a stupid remark to make on television. And why don't these people that are questioning Bill pin him down on that right away? Here's what I would have done. I'm $16 million in debt. When I left the presidency, it was horrible. It was just horrible. $16 million in debt. Well, Mr. Clinton, who were you in debt to? Well, I don't really want to talk about that, but, and Mr. Clinton, why were you in debt? What'd you have to spend the money for? Let's face it, you got a pretty good salary as being president. You get everything paid for. Didn't have to pay anything for yourself. Every trip you made, every piece of food you ate was paid for by the taxpayer. Who'd you borrow the money from? Well, I was $16 million in debt. Well, Bill, who were you in debt to? Did you borrow the money from Hillary? And was Hillary in debt, or did she have like another $80 million? By the way, you're a joint. When you file taxes, you file jointly, don't you, Mr. Clinton? What about her? Who were you in debt to? The law firms that you had to hire to defend your issues of impeachment and your affairs? Was that who you were in debt to? If so, who cares? It's your fault. We could have talked, or I could have interviewed him for another 35 minutes on what he meant by debt. Are you paying interest on the debt? Did you sign documents that legitimize the debt? And how'd you happen to know the $16 million? Was that just a round number, or was it $15,800,000? And how many law firms did you owe the money to? Did you owe the money to any Republicans? And it goes on and on. The idea of being $16 million in debt is like, guys, people, you got to feel sorry for me because I was so much in debt when I got out of the, you know, I had to pay for all those cigars and all those affairs I had, and Hillary wasn't very nice to me, so I had to, you know, I was $16 million in debt, so yeah, it's horrible. That's what we have to listen to. How does a guy like Patterson hook up with a guy like Clinton to write a book? I don't know. Maybe Patterson paid him. Maybe Patterson's a liberal. Maybe Patterson's a Democrat and wanted to help Bill. Who knows the answer to that? Maybe Bill paid Patterson in order to get some more TV time. Or maybe Patterson had to clear all the sexual parts of his book with Bill to make sure they were accurate and possible. Would I buy a book written by Patterson and Bill Clinton? Absolutely not. I won't buy Comey's book either. And if Clapper writes a book, and he probably did, I won't buy his book. Truman had the right idea. If you are an elected official, if you are an official in an important position, elected or not, like a Comey, and you leave, you should not be able to make money based on your public service. Get another job, start another career, but don't make money off of your public service. Why? Well, let's see. I am a taxpayer. Some of my tax money probably went to pay Comey's salary. I should get some of his book proceeds because I am a indirect investor in him. I should get proceeds from his efforts. But he's not going to send me any money, I'm pretty sure of it. But Truman was right. Working in government is a public service, particularly in the high echelons of government. It's a public service. Oh, sure, the retirement benefits are quite phenomenal. I'd love to know what Comey's are. He probably gets $200,000 a year for the rest of his life, which might be another sixth as much as $10 million. I don't know for sure if he gets retirement or not, but most of those guys do. So we covered a lot of issues today. I can only say, listen to Tucker Carlson. The guy asks straightforward, common sense questions. He doesn't necessarily defend Trump. I don't necessarily defend Trump, but I have to say, when he said to TV, looked right in the lens of the TV cameras and said, Russia should be here, that's a business person's concept of what needs to be done. And that's why he will be successful in North Korea. And oh, by the way, let's just cut to the chase right now. No matter what happens in North Korea, no matter what happens, the liberals are already painting the exit articles. Here will be one title. North Korea was primarily just a photo op. Nothing happened. Trump flew 6,000 miles and spent $4 million of the taxpayers' money, and what did we get for it? Nothing but another meeting. Trump announced the North Korean leader will visit Washington, D.C. How horrible is that? A guy who killed other people. Let's see now. We pretty well massacred the Indians. We had slaves for, God, I don't know how many years. Even when we stopped having slaves, we had slaves. We didn't let a lot of them vote for 200 years. So where is our high horse about the North Korean leader? I don't think we should be on it. That's all for now. If you're a Democrat, I don't think I changed your mind any because you won't answer any questions anyway directly. Liberals. But we need you Democrats because you make us Republicans all look so good. You make us seem rational. You make us have common sense. I hope we keep it. And I hope Trump keeps doing exactly what he is doing. Because only a business person, a person who has had to build a business, could understand. Think about Apple and Samsung. Compete at one level, tooth and nail. Litigate each other at tooth and nail. But they need each other to get those iPhones built. So they compartmentalize litigation while they have their ongoing discussions of trade. That sounds like a good idea. Does that sound like something that Trump might understand? Compartmentalizing differences of opinion while you talk about trade? See, that's what Apple and Samsung do. That's what other companies do because they're in business. They're not about to get mad at their foot and cut it off, because he might need it to walk somewhere. That's all for today. Robert Sherwood, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, signing off. Have a good weekend.